Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you, and our regular co-hosts, the money healer, Stephanie J. Alvarez, and Dr. Nicole Kane. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. Vibrant Living is a way of life. Is your health by accident? Is it by design or by accident? Your creativity by design or accident? The riches around you? So, the whole network, the whole, it's a way of life and a way of inquiring. I'm happy you're with us. Our network is a network of such wonderful people. And every day I get to open my eyes and see again and invite you to join us as we continue to vibrantly use together. So instead of aging, I want you to join me in using each moment. And I'm just so happy about the ongoing people and experiences we have. Always feel free to write us and call us. And we are beyond the interview, beyond the formula, and, of course, game-changing and live, along with my wonderful co-host and energizer and inquirer, alchemist, Kai Cole, Ariel, homeopath, advanced student of Judaism and mysticism. And here we are. I'm just really happy we're here today. And I was just realizing that the first time, one of the first times I started to see things different. And I think one time I hurt my knee, and I was at a food co-op. I was probably 19, and this chiropractor walked by me. And he saw me holding my knee, and he said, "It's not your knee, it's your hip." Oh. And I started to realize, like, on one level we get this information. It's in the horizontal. We learn things horizontally and at a linear level, and then we miss the deeper vitalness, the spirulic. There's another whole aspect a lot of times we don't tap. So I actually had this first experience. And then I started to meet other people. I pretty much bumped into this world-class model. Told me her cosmetics were killing her, Tony DeMarco. And really vibrant living began, in some sense, began that day because I talked to her. I went over to see her at her apartment in New York, and I designed my first seminar. And I realized no one ever told me that I could design my own career. I could kind of, like, I had no idea. I just knew that school was boring, and I felt like I was held back. I didn't feel like, I felt like I missed so much. So really the vibrant inquiry began. And I'm here to share it with you. And I'm here to share with all the wonderful people that I connect with and that are on our team. If you want to be part of our team or you're curious about not just being a host, but being a vibrant speaker, welcome aboard. Well, Kai, I thought I would go to you. I know you, and I want to make sure Kimchi's here. Do we got Kimchi on the line right now? Kimchi, you there? I want to do a special introduction for Kimchi today. Not yet, I'm going to guess. But Kai, you're there.
Yes.
Kai? Okay, cool. I'll do my special introduction with Kimchi. I'm going to wait for, I guess, Kimchi, please speak up. You're there. Kimchi Moyer is a resipath, and she travels all around the world studying the most innovative advanced methods of having the whole body come into harmony, resonance, well-being. And she's very close. She's going to be traveling the world, being a vibrant travel journalist, and sharing with us the many things around not just the world, but beyond the culture that we're used to in terms of vibrant youthing, in terms of happiness, in terms of relational wisdom. And I'm just honored to work with her. And like many people, Kai, I'm just honored to meet people that I've in some sense never met before. When I met them, no, it's been such an experience of real family. I'm going to quote Dr. Ashley Montague, because this is a quote that also changed my life. Anthropologist over at Princeton. I was in my parents' backyard one day, and I heard this conversation with Dr. Montague, and he said, love can heal broken bones. I goes, I never heard that before. And then I met my first beloved. I met Ruthie. I had this really bad acne, and I realized within 2 days of seeing her, my acne left. My face was clear. So I always knew early on that emotions and this ability to embody forgiveness created a whole other bridge, not just for both of you. That's not just personal transformation, it's just relational stuff. So here we are today. Kai, what's inspiring you today? I want to say one more thing about Kimchi. Kimchi's the most devoted person I've met in terms of like really having this wonderful curiosity about what really turns on the human body, the frequencies, the food. And Kai, you're going to go see her. She's going to work with you. You'll share your experience. So what's moving you about today's program? What's moving you? I wanted to just check in with you. It's so good. I'm so happy you were here. It seemed like you went through 5 different galaxies, and here you are. So I'm happy.
I did. And what has moved me this past week, as usual, it's a statement that you said. And it was about the understanding that our bodies have one core purpose, and that's it. And that core purpose is to communicate love.
You know, it's funny. So I want to say, Kai, it's so beautiful that you share that. I didn't mean to cut you off. Say more. Say more how that impacted you or how it spoke to you.
No, it's quite all right. I just wanted to let you know that there are these things that just speak to me that you say, and they have such profound meaning, and I'm sure that we can unpack the many dimensions of this particular subject. But I really feel that that's true. I resonate with you on that, Glenn.
Mm. You know, many years ago, there was a bookstore in Harlem called the Tree of Life Bookstore, and one of the guys there, Dr. John Moore, wrote a book called Hobology and Herbology. I went to see him at the university. I was like, oh, my God, this is one of the wisest people. I mean, mostly lives on trains, and he's able to, you know, pick herbs. And I was like, wow. And there was another guy named Sunshine. Sunshine was just a man of wisdom. And I saw him, like, he had come to New York. I looked at him, and I was just so moved. I said, Sunshine, you have this beauty emanating from you. And he said to me, he said, it's in your eyes, in your eyes. I was like, wow. And that same day, Kai, that same day, I had cracks in the corners of my lips. I'd come from Long Island. I had a tough, it was the winter. I was a little drained. And I go to the Tree of Life booth, and there was this beautiful black woman. She was serving this vat of soup. True story. This vat of soup. And she looked at me. I looked at her. I was working at the next booth, and she goes, you know, you could use some of this soup. And I said, I was like, yes. My body was like, yes. And she goes, that everything I cook, she goes, I cook with it naked, and I put my full energy into it. She goes, you could use the soup. By the second bowl, I felt my lips already started to heal. So, yeah, the purpose of our bodies and our being is to communicate this quality of love. And when that's not there, we're usually in fear. We get distracted by a linear mind. And, you know, we're trying to have something happen. It's kind of like I go through the day, and it's almost like I love when I feel that transition between the horizontal and the vertical. It's kind of like, oh. And then sometimes I feel it's contagious. You know, it's kind of like, so. By the way, I feel like it's the amplified discovery that you share, that it's amplified, because it's not like I just have that. It's there. It's kind of like it's only in the living passage back and forth, you know, that that occurred. And I think it all started in some, another aspect that I had after I connected with Toni DeMarco, and she told me about her cosmic familiar. She also shared with me how she designed her future, how she So when I went to see her apartment, she had these newspaper clippings, but they're newspaper clippings from like a year ahead. If I saw her, let's say in 1996, or all her clippings, it looked like a real newspaper. It was like the Wall Street Journal. It had all these things like Tony DeMarco wins this award. And so she did this like future, this kind of now casting. And so when we developed the Vibrant, we call the Vibrant Mastery Challenge, we realized that something happens when we come together, because the agreement is the beginning of the miraculous. So really, it's the agreement I have with you that brings another dimension out in me. It's not really a me thing. You know, when I think about my children or something, I think, well, it's this other thing that happens when we come together, when we could experience this. And that's what I think that Ashley Mountain was talking about when he said love is broken bones. Very different kind of message that Tina Turner had, right? Different messages. If it's real love, it has everything to do with it. If it's not, then okay, the song stands. All right, so I want to welcome Ariel. Ariel, what's wait for Kimchi. If you're there, I want you to speak up. Are you there, Kimchi? Kimchi? I hear. Is that Kimchi? You think? What do you think? I really appreciate you saying that. It's kind of like we're all waiting for someone at a party, Chris, and you helped us. Thank you. Ariel, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what, Ariel? I love that you. Your laugh is like the laughter at a. I feel so welcomed in your laughter. So I'm happy you're here. So happy you're part of the Vibrant Living team, which is like my. It's really my. My family. You know, it's like each of us has these attributes that come alive together. So initiate yourself. Say something. You're a homeopath. You're helping me put together. My vibrant, I used to know what it was called too, the Vibrant Living Network. And, you know, when I went, I want to say that, yeah, I'm just happy you're here. So what's your vibrant insight for the day? What's been bubbling for you?
I guess what I could say is I really resonate with what Miranda said, but I want to take it to another level. We definitely, love is important. We need to spread love to everybody. You know, we need to share that positivity, and that's what heals, that's what helps us grow and become better people overall. But to take it another step forward, we also need to make ourselves the vessels to not only give, but to receive that love also. And I think that's part of the purpose of today, of, you know, the show, of our network, and that's what we try to spread to other people. And that's also what I try to do in my practice also. You know, for example, when I work with clients, my goal isn't just to treat or to heal them, which is also true, but it's also to kind of share that positivity and to give that over so they can gain the tools and become the vessel that they need to be in order to move forward and to grow and to reach their potential in their life in all different aspects.
Yeah, I want to say, by the way, beautiful, beautiful. You know, I want to say that was Kai who shared that. And Kai is one with Miranda, but they have different names. So that was, so Miranda is one of our wonderful writers, our vibrant writers. And she says why things regulate to me. And Kai just shared that gem. So I wanted to share with you something I discovered yesterday. No. It's okay. All right, you're going to be back $50,000. We'll talk about it after the show. All right, so the other day I was with a friend of mine. She's a professional comedian. Thank you. That was good. So the other day she says to me, she just says this thing to me. I'm an improv artist, so I was improvising. I was kind of playing with these people and I was going into character, and she pulls me aside and she says, you know, it's really good that you come out and let who you are, not the character, not the improv person for a second. And she goes, because all comedy is about service and about sharing that energy. So actually giving and receiving are one. So when you truly give, you actually receive. And to receive and ask is a deep blessing. So when she said this to me, I just realized on the spot, this is tantric comedy. See, tantric comedy is the ability to receive and allow someone to give to you. So, right. So we think about it as giving, but it's also this ability to receive. I was on the way to Atlanta and the van I was in flew off the road. We went into like an ice embankment. And I realized, next thing I knew, I felt this hand on my shoulder, that's my left shoulder. And I felt I was receiving something that was profound, like almost like a, I don't know, like a blessing, something. And there was a guy standing to ask if I was okay. But before he asked me verbally, I could feel that. I could feel him there. And I realized, I was very close with Dr. Jerry Jampolsky. He wrote a book, a very famous book called Love, Letting Go, Fear. And he told us, he told two things that struck me. Very educated man, went to, you know, psychiatrist. So one of the things he said, and I always remember this, Ariel and Kai and Deborah, that when he realized one day when he was doing the spiritual study that he became a psychiatrist because he was unusually frightened. And he realized that as a psychiatrist, you get to judge and diagnose people. And so he just kind of, he kind of dropped and realized that he had this impositional practice and that he was causing more fear. And with that recognition, 30 years of back pain went away. He had an instant healing, his back pain went away. And then the other thing that he shared about giving and receiving, about love, when he wrote that book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, I used to carry it in my left pocket. I used to like stop and just read it. Because that book's all about perception, right? And we, what are we perceiving in each moment? What's happening? And so the idea is you could shift perception, which a lot of people don't realize they could do. It's that wonderful moment. So at 3 in the morning, I want you guys to get this in your linear mind. It's like 3 in the morning, he gets this knock on the door. And he opens the door, and he said, the guy outside, it was someone he didn't hadn't met before. He said he just reeked. He stunk. He just really smelled. He probably been like, you know, homeless. And but there was a moment, Jampolsky said, that he realized the guy just came to have this experience of love. So with that, Jampolsky had a shift of perception, and he said he didn't smell the smell anymore. So this thing about love is very practical, and it kind of shapeshifts, and it's a way of life. Like, I really don't do a radio show. Life and Living is a way of life. It's a way of inquiring and discovering and reasking questions. And I guess you could say in an undefended way, it's kind of an ongoing thing. And so, yeah, no, this is a really interesting thing. The other thing is it's such a trick to the rational mind, because our mind wants to figure things out, put them in categories, and I just love this inquiry. I really do. I want to say, in terms of the Vibrant Mastery Challenge, this is what we do for 3 months together. We kind of dive in, and we bring this stuff into our bodies and realize, in some sense, if you will, we have this one, it's almost like we have one body. We're kind of in these different personal experiences, and yet there's one infinite mind, there's one bigger mind that as we become more aware, we start to have mutual recognition that we have dead thinking and alive thinking. And the more alive our thinking is, the more it kind of goes to each other. Larry Dusty wrote a book called, it's called Beyond the Local Mind. And I had this experience many times where I could think of someone, tune into someone, and I realized, oh, yeah, when you go beyond your brain-bound mind or your time-bound mind, huh, could you believe it? It's a break coming up? Hey, I really love you guys. Stay with us for the Vibrant Living Experience, and we'll continue. Kai is a special person she brought on today. I'm going to let her introduce Deborah in a moment. Your life's precious and joyous. Stay with us. You're in the Vibrant Living Experience with us today. Thank you.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, Why not make a date to come play with me in the Field of Possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I would encourage you to have something to write down, something that needs to write down an idea, something that moves you. And many people change the course of their life by taking new actions. You know, there's a little awareness box that comes to us, the live thinking. So, Kai, you brought kind of a new family member by, someone that you wanted to introduce. So I thought I could let you introduce her. And I also want to check again if Kimchi's with us, Kimchi Moore. I love Kimchi. You there, Kimchi? All right. Ongoing lesson here. All right, Kai. Why don't you introduce Deborah to us?
Absolutely. Deborah Roth, who came to me as a friend of a friend. However, I'd like to think that we are friends now. Right, Deborah?
Definitely, Kai.
Deborah
took a risk there.
13 years. Right?
Yeah, right.
Deborah spent 13 years in the corporate world, and currently she spends her time as a ritual consultant and facilitator, an interfaith minister, professional counseling astrologer, an actor, and, of course, a coach. Deborah, would you like to give your version of an introduction and welcome?
Oh, love that. Thanks, Kai. Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks, Glenn, for having me, too, for
You're
bringing
welcome.
Me into the family, as you say. Yes, I've been coaching since the mid-90s, right when they were just starting to call it coaching, and do relationship work. I work with singles and couples and do life and career transition work, and as an interfaith minister, I get to marry people, which is so much fun. Do really
wow.
different, unique, fun, playful wedding ceremonies. And along those lines, also the ritual piece of that. Part of what I did in the 90s as I was transitioning from corporate into whatever it was I was going to do, it was a big transition decade, was that I also got my master's in psychology and my my master's thesis was on the power of transformative ritual, particularly for women. So did a lot of really cool, fun study and research and reading and ritual creating, and still do a lot of that, and got credit for it, which was fabulous. so it really, the focus
Deborah,
of it
I have
was
to tell you.
Feminist psychology and women's spirituality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that one of the things that caught Glenn's attention from your resume was your role in the Vagina Monologues. Can you tell us how that came about and how you enjoyed that experience?
Well, it is ongoing, and I think it is – of course I believe it. I love synchronicity. Today, as I know you all know, is International Women's Day.
Yes.
In 2009 – I founded and am still, tonight we have our next show. It's not Vagina Monologues this time. When we started in 2009, my Unitarian church, the Fourth Universalist Society, probably one of the very few churches in the city, much less the country, who had a huge poster that said Vagina Monologues right in the front window. Gives you an idea of what Unitarian Universalists what they lead with. They lead with honoring women and all groups, very inclusive. So for the first 6 years, I produced the Vagina Monologues, was in it a couple times, almost every year. And the focus of the group, we were originally called Fourth U, that's the name of the Unitarian congregation, Unitarian Universalist, Fourth Universalist Society. So we were Fourth UV Day, which is Eve Ensler's organization that really flowed like a tsunami out of her original Vagina Monologues work. And that organization still exists. It's got different faces now. But the mission and our mission is to raise money and awareness for organizations who work to end violence against women and girls, both locally and globally. So 10% of our proceeds from our productions still go to V-Day. And then the other 90%, every year we pick a couple different beneficiaries. This year it's, or this for this show that starts tonight for the next three nights, our local beneficiaries are one organization called Womankind, and the other is Day One. But if you go to the website, which is now we're called, we switched about 2.5-3 years ago from Fourth UV Day to expanding beyond just Eve's shows, because she has other ones besides Vagina Monologues, and we did some of the other ones too. Now we produce other, mostly female playwrights' works, but still with the same mission. And we call ourselves, and it's a mouthful, Artivists, which is activism through the arts. So we are now Fourth U Artivists, and that's the website, fourthuartivists.com, and you can see more about it there.
Excellent.
So tonight
I'd like to
is our
present
opening
the
night.
Fact that, yes, congratulations. And I love the way that you are... So you're embracing all of these wonderful, wonderful concepts around, you know, womanhood and ministry and, you know, of course, universalism. What I also love is that you use the word tsunami. Glenn, what does that bring up for you?
Well, you know, Kai, so much Deborah says that I – okay, so about 8 years ago, I experienced a – I was married many years. You know, it's, I guess there was one point in my relationship that there was a huge upheaval and everything shifted. And at the same time, my whole world shifted. I was doing a format in Seattle, and it was almost like everything shifted so fast that it was a relational tsunami. And I got, so for about a year, it impacted me so deep I could barely function. And I started to realize growing up, I would read about obscure things like, you know, I called it spiritual emergencies, Kundalini crises. And there was a certain period of time where I would go to sleep at night and I would wake up again, very conscious. I called the soul seeing, and I saw things I sensed that I wanted to connect with but couldn't. And of course, I wanted to connect with my beloved wife, who wasn't around. She left. And so I guess what I saw, the energy was a relational tsunami. And I began to speak to people, and people began to contact me almost like no matter what I was doing in my life, they were talking to me about relational connection. It came very strong to write a book called Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. And the other level, what happened was, and what was fascinating was that I started to distinguish. And I want to get your take on this. I started to distinguish. So 14 years ago, this woman in San Francisco who was running I think it was called Dragonfly, it was a writer's organization. She told me the time has come that we got to get past the women's groups and the men's groups and really focus on what I call the relational brain, the relational soul. Now, here I am going through the seeing, and I'm sort of joking to people that I've become a little bit of a divorce exorcist, that division and separateness is sort of put on a pedestal from a certain aspect of empowerment work. And so I guess you could say with the tsunami and other things like heartbreak, I realized there was this other opportunity to share a different message and inquire. And I wrote this three page, and this medical doctor, an energy healer in Ohio, called me, Martha Hackett, and she told me that the three pages that she read, there was nothing like it, and it was why she never divorced her husband. Her husband was an alcoholic at the time. So what I've seen, and I love to get you guys feedback on this, is what I've seen with such this zest for empowerment
it's created, in my awareness, another level of division and separateness. And what's funny enough is a lot of my mentors are women, you know, Dr. Valerie Hunt, Patricia Sun. And what's interesting about it is that they not only agree with me, but they see that it's kind of this, we're funding, as an example, we fund something that's, which is a beautiful thing, fund, you know, women and their daughters or our children. But there's something missing in the conversation. And I saw that Layla Martin just brought this up. Eventually, so, well, the archetype for men is their fathers, they're nice guys, and they're deviants. There's not much of a model of a man who embodies his sensuality and sexuality in a conscious, powerful way. That's a consciousness hero. That really, when he shows up on the street, he's there for women. We don't have this model. So what I see is there's somewhat of this other conversation around character assassination in relation to men, and not a conversation of another level of summoning and languaging what truly a man is and how the impact of how men and women actually totally need each other. I had a conversation with a man, he's put 65,000 people through his work, and he told me it was a mistake, that the empowerment work for men caused a lot of divorces. So I want people to inquire and consider that relational power and that men and women totally need each other. And to just keep inquiring as we language things, the power of that language could also create a lot of division. And I feel like if there's a shadow side of empowerment work, it's the endarkenment of putting separateness and things like divorce are acts of power rather than. And by the way, Dr. Sue Johnson, we're going to have her on. She will hold me close. One of the things she said in relationship to this was, I thought was fascinating, when she brought the new attachment model. The new attachment model is that you don't got to divorce someone that you have a bad time with. See, that's the old model. That's the old story. The new story is you could alchemize it and go to a deeper love. So my next level of work really became relational based on my soul things and based on what happened in my life. I have people coming to me from all over. And so that's my, I guess you could say my concern and inquiry is that if we, because in language, we create the separateness. And what I'd like to see happen is that, and as I said, a lot of my close people are women. What's missing, I feel, is this other conversation about truly what men are, what women are to men, and then what marriage is in terms of a devotional, energetic practice that I feel in my heart is the highest practice in the world. Kind of like yourself, Deborah, right? I see myself marrying people. I also see myself helping people relationally clear things together. And the distinction being is that individualistic work is individualistic, is an individualistic field. But if you start to see energy work and our lives as a relational field, it changes everything. And I'm in this inquiry, and what I see is the people that I meet who are in this, it's opened the world for them. And I see a lot of people, the work they're doing itself is creating more separation and division, even in the languaging. So I wanted to get I just wanted to share that because I'm challenged in a good way. Because divorce depends on each other. It really changes it. I feel like when I read it myself, it changes the structure and how we hold not just divorce, but the divisionary consciousness that somehow puts it up there as like a spiritual Big Mac. So I want to, and by the way, I'm happy that you work with couples. I kind of feel the more the time goes on, my relational system works. It's rare when someone comes to see me. I've been coaching since 1990. So when I started to coach, right, it wasn't called coaching. But now I always talk to people about the whole relationship and the whole relational impulse that's around them because it's – so I just think what happens is you get so excited about stage six. I call it stage six, which is individualistic empowerment, self-empowerment, and then, you know, gender empowerment. I just think we miss this other level. I love your take as someone who's been in the field – and also someone who understands the languaging of things to get your take on a little bit of what I was sharing or anything that you want to bring up.
Oh, Glenn, I think everything you've been saying is so on the mark. And I think where there is a lot of great empowerment work for men and for women out there.
Sure.
And there
sure.
are actually some great places. I went to one weekend at the end, but one of my brothers and sister-in-law, I have three brothers, all married fabulous women, thank goodness.
Yes.
And this one couple went for the first time also in the 90s to one of the Sterling weekends. They have men's weekends and women weekends.
Yes. Yes.
And they, to this yes. day, they both still are in their men's group and their women's group. And the whole point of, yes. of Sterling, from what I understand, is that, yes, do yes. your, and I say this to my couples all the time, and, you know, whenever I'm interviewed yes. or when I write articles, you know, people say, yes. oh, yes. so what do you think is the most important thing for, you know, for a successful long-term relationship? And everybody, you know, says, oh, it's yes. communication, oh, it's conflict resolution. Yes. And I always say, I think it's that each part mm-hmm. of the couple, you know, whether it's
yes.
two guys, two women, to you know, male, female, whatever it is, each is committed
yes.
to doing their
yes.
own personal growth and self-discovery work.
Yes.
And yes, mm-hmm. you do that first and foremost for yourself, to make yourself a whole being. But then the
yes.
next step, which is what you're talking about, I think, that,
yes.
that sometimes
yes.
we lose, is then you bring that to the relationship. And when you bring that to the – if you bring two whole beings to the right relationship, none of this you complete me crap. It's really got to be two people coming together that – and you know, it's always a work in progress.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I look – I've
mm-hmm,
been married.
Mm-hmm.
I met my husband and running in Riverside Park in New York City in 1979, and we're still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm real honest with my
guys,
couple.
That's wonderful.
There are
yeah.
days and weeks and even probably years that we have
yeah.
not particularly
yeah.
liked each other, but you stay in the,
yeah.
as you said, you stay in the inquiry. Some of it's gender stuff,
yeah.
but mostly not, because he's a pretty,
yeah.
you know, I
yeah.
think like you, he's an intuitive healer. He's
yeah.
got ton, you know, a lot of
yeah.
his best friends are women.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
really
yeah.
nice
yeah.
balance. I think we do ourselves a disservice not getting stuck in that. Yay, women's empowerment. Yay, you know, men's empowerment and all that stuff. And then
yeah.
not bringing it into her
yeah.
relationships. You're like, you're missing the boat.
Mm.
So, and it's
yeah,
and
I mean,
at
you
the
know,
same time, though, Glenn,
yeah,
I will
yeah.
say just that I am drawn,
yes.
and I say this on my website,
yes.
I am drawn to work with
yeah.
women. And I joke about it because
yeah.
I've been surrounded by testosterone
yeah.
my whole life. I have three brothers.
Yes.
I have
yes.
two sons
yes.
for a very long time.
Yeah.
All the four of us only produced
yes.
Boys. And finally,
yeah.
in the last
yeah.
10
yeah.
years, when there are now two girls in the family. And
yeah.
I have a granddaughter, which is
yeah.
so exciting. But I
yeah.
am just kind of by accident when I started coaching, you know, just like you said,
yeah.
you put yourself out there in a certain way and attracted women
yeah.
who were undernurtured, overwhelmed, as I like to say, who the concept of self-care, or what I call sacred self-centeredness, was, you know, completely foreign to them. And it's, but, and you, it's not that you take care of yourself or you empower yourself only for yourself,
yeah.
or I mean, I'm sorry, only so that
yeah.
you can be in a great relationship, or so that you can take care of other people. You know, the old, you got to put when the plane's going down, you got to put your own seatbelt on first before you put your kids on. Yes, first and foremost, we should be taking care of ourselves for ourselves. But then there are all kinds of important ripple effects that happen, you know, in the rest of our lives when we're doing that. And one of those is, or should be, what we bring to our relationships.
Boy, I tell you, we could do a day long together on this. I
oh,
an unscripting love
conversation.
Right? Yeah. All right. I guess we're gonna. Yeah. What would have? You know, it's funny, Deborah. Imagine if we were innocent, and we saw we complete each other. You know, I love the languaging is so interesting how it slipped in. We'll continue. Vibrant Living Network. Your life's precious. Enjoy. Stay with us. I'm Glenn Brooks.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, you're listening to the Vibrant Living Network, and I'm with Kai Cole, Ariel. Boy, you know, there's a level of the level where you drop in together and you discover a whole new connection together. So, you know, Deborah, I think it would serve us to do a day together because there's so much here. So, as an example, I also help people write profiles and from their deepest sensation, from their awareness. And from their relational life, what's interesting is only 2% of people write profiles from their relational life. Mostly they talk about what they do during the day. So the relational life changes everything. The relational field shifts everything. So imagine though, see, like as an example, I play some volleyball and tennis, and I play with people on the innocence. You mentioned completing each other. So imagine if that was an innocence to that, and in fact you did complete each other in an innocent way. Or as an example, you had conscious dependency. So what I do is I play with people on the body, and actually it's almost like this other whole language came in, and there's so much pushing off it that, you know, like I, one of my clients, she's a woman, I was kind of playing with her on this idea she needs men. And it's really opened up, her immune system shifted, the ability to receive energy. So it's kind of like we have all these, if you will, we have all these thought viruses kind of around these things. And I think some of the beauty, there was a 60-year-old woman we were working with, and she was just saying most of her life she was pushing off men because she, her father would beat her. She said she would never cry. Her sister cried, never got beat again. But she started to be at airports, and she would receive the masculine energy, and men would come over and help her. She said, boy, I discovered who men were. And she goes, there was nothing I was taught, nothing I heard in the culture. So I do have this, yeah, I would say that in terms of empowerment, what I call relational power is that there's another whole level of passage of energy. And it's, yeah, I just find, I think this is a kind of, you know, day-long thing. We people have experiences. And yeah, as I said, I think the energy of marriage is, it's a very distinct, wondrous energy. It's not the domesticated notion of marriage. So, yeah, I love it, Deborah. It kind of came to me from another universe, and I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say I think we have done such a huge disservice to men and women, in the image that we project of what an ideal relationship looks like. You know, thank Hollywood TV shows. I am so candid with my couples about, you know, it's not about. It's not all the stuff you see in the movies, and you're going to be really and so many, like when my couples that I marry, I always ask them, and I ask them in the moment, you know, it's not a questionnaire.
Yeah.
We're sitting here talking, so you know, for some that are more thinkers than talkers, as I like to as I like to say, they don't process the way that talkers do.
Yeah.
But I ask them what it is that they love about each other, and I include it in the marriage ceremony, in the wedding ceremony. And I would say easily half of them will say some version of, you know, what boils down to how they complement each other. You know, in little ways, one likes a cold room to sleep in, whatever. But, they can be bigger things, too. And I always say, okay, just keep in mind that on your good days, that will stretch and grow each other. You know, you'll stretch and grow each other with those differences. That's the way a really vibrant mm-hmm. relationship works. On your bad days, mm-hmm. you're going to want to strangle each other because those differences mm-hmm. can really get to you. But if you make the commitment, you know, Harville Hendrix talks about, who's, you know, a great relationship expert. He kind of got couples coaching jump-started, I think, in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He talks mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. the fact that real love begins when you, and this is very, you know, very focused, but it's, I think it's fascinating, talk about language, when we realize with our partner that we've married both the best and the worst of each of our parents. And instead of running screaming from the room or the relationship, as the case may be, when we discover that, we stay in and move through that self-discovery and dual discovery process. So, yeah, oh, you're right. We could just keep talking and talking about this.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be fun to have people, you know, experience this so they can bring it into their, like, we're going to do a weekend on, you know, so one distinction in my work is, as a matchmaker, is that I say knowing gets in the way. It's about recognition.
Say it again.
I
mean, just
people
a
whole different way of, that knowing gets in the way. Knowing gets mm-hmm. in the way. And it's really about recognition.
Mm.
Yeah, so the poison of relationship is the deepest level of, you know, it's just, in some sense, it's a gift. It's kind of, and also, yeah, I mean, I see, yeah, parents, but it's even, there's so many interesting levels of kind of how we become estranged to each other. And then there's kind of this deeper medicine, this love medicine that, you know, it's kind of beyond our rational training. You know, it's funny, one day I was at the Omega Institute, and I was sitting at a round table. I was doing a Tao of Lovemaking workshop, and there was a woman in Henry's class. You know, I used to joke to her because she would leave. I'd tell her I missed her. And we were playing around with, like, when we allow ourselves, we can allow ourselves to feel connected, like, really deeply. And I, you know, so the idea is that really it's almost an instant. And I said this to Noam Shirley, he's one of my mentors, and he's married 54 years. And he said, you know, Glenn, because I never dated my wife, because I also teach people go beyond dating to relating. I can never date someone. I don't know what that is. I don't want to get donated either. It's not part of my universe. So he said, yeah. He said his wife, she walked by him and he said, oh, that's my wife. And he recognized it so deeply, and she did with him. So I play with people on this, what I call relational intuition. See, when it's just personal, a lot of trouble. But when it's relational, it's sort of this other passage. And this is kind of what, you know, I find really interesting. And of course, because I've also played with this thing called the ecstasy mind. I love bringing this into lovemaking and sexuality. You have a new show coming on called The High Libido Life. We're going to be exploring this. And how to live this, you know, people to me, that they're living in the highest temple in relationship, which I do want to give a plug. I want to mention the upcoming Vibrant Mastery Challenge, because people have made deep connections in that on all levels. And it's really about starting from this place called mastery and really having a group breath, or a group ohana, the family that breathes together, and realizing that as we transition from the competitive plane to the cooperative plane, creative plane, it's like a whole different thing. And I've seen this, by the way, Deborah, where I feel like the whole group almost goes from one part of the nervous system to another. And it happened to me last week. I couldn't believe it. I joked to this very dear friend of mine. She's more than a friend. She said to me, come to this party. And I realized, I was just joking. I said, if I don't come, those women are going to cry. And she said sincerely they would. And that was it. The rest, for the next 14 hours, I just had melted down. I was so moved. And I realized I'm so used to being a rebel. I'm so used to being an outsider. That when she said it to me, it just moved me at a level. Because I get up in the morning, I'm on my morning practices. I hold my heart and I see what's there. I tune into it. But I realized, like, wow. You know, that's what the old medicine men used to do that. Someone who's the problematic person in the community, they came and apprenticed to the medicine man, a woman. So I want to say, if you're interested in the next Vibrant Living Challenge, next Vibrant Mastery Challenge, or you're interested in being part of our network and learning more, you could give me a call. Little by little, we have some amazing new stuff, because Kai is a genius at helping people with their vibrant brands, build their vibrant community, and she's with us, and it's
It's such an honor. So you could call 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. Have you really, in your life, dear, but have you had anything happen? Like, what's been, have you had, I know you've gone through many cycles, but was there one thing, or for, I'll tell you the kind of monologues. Okay, let's go there for a second. Did that open you up? Because I've got to tell you something really funny. I told this to Kai off the air. I met this woman a few months ago who produced, I think it was called Cock Dialogues in San Francisco. So I get calls from people, and she comes up, could you help me produce Cock Dialogues? And I'm like, well, tell me the purpose of it. And she goes, the purpose is so women could discover who men really are beyond the mask and the misrepresentation of the masculine, the beauty and wonder of men. And I said, yes, I'm in. And she says, well, one of the things that we did was the women would come, but we wanted them to stay silent so they could begin to hear a different conversation. Because one of the things I discovered around divorce that was kind of fascinating was people do not divorce each other. They do not divorce each other. They divorce the graven image, the darker image they make of about the other person. And when you have recognition of this, you don't go on this mechanical track, because scripting is the thing that keeps us kind of... So she called me and we talked about this, and I said, you know, I'm going to go to the most progressive woman that I know in town and see how excited she is about this, about Cock Dialogue. Because I really knew that her name was Queen Bee. I knew Queen Bee was very sincere in this, that she really wanted to bridge this gap. So it was exciting and innovative as what Vagina Monologues was. I thought, what missed this other level? Because I was always curious about this other level, because women in my life have been such a profound gift. And then I realized there was different kind of women. It was kind of this interesting universe. And there were some women I just felt like a different kind of man being around. And there were some women I kind of felt like, wow, they don't really like, they didn't care for the male vibration. I met this one woman, and in her life, she was becoming heterosexual. I met another woman who and their appreciation and reverence for men was off the charts. I would learn things from them and have conversations that would stretch my mind. Well, I went to the most progressive woman in town, I thought, and she couldn't get the Cock Dialogues at all. She was like, what is that? And I said, what it is we got to start a new story now that brings us to a new place together. Because if right now it's just about women and, the whole movement, it so dehumanizes. And so it's a character assassination. And that becomes the next junk food. But there's no reverence and there's no partnership in it. And so she couldn't get it. What's your take since since being in the play? What would you do differently that you feel would bridge the gap between men and women so that would... That actually became a dialogue and a reverence and a passage point rather than one more thing that might just be another empowerment tool for just women, for instance.
Whoa. That's a loaded question.
Yeah, that was all. I would like Kai to say whoa as well. Would you say whoa, please, Kai? I need another whoa on that.
Yeah,
I really like you joining with the whoa.
Yeah, I'll get back to you next week sometime. Kai, you go first. So you're asking what would be the one thing, Glenn, to get
yeah,
men
I was curious.
I was curious.
Yeah, because I just see at a certain point it becomes more of the same division. We had a woman come on a few weeks ago, Anita, who put together a conference on sexuality, ecstasy, and immunity. And she said, well, one of the things, a lot of women are still in that story of the matriarchy. And I think it would be great if we just got to that. And she said, in fact, during the matriarchy, now you might be chomping the words, there was a lot of brutality and harm. And so she says, well, the idea of going back to something and worshiping that creates more division and violence. So it's kind of like as we move forward quickly with one notion, how do we pay attention in a way that we gain this reverence and deep medicinal appreciation? My friend's new website is called We Need Each Other. And I'm just wondering if there's an insight. There's something you learned about men and about the bridging of men and women that kind of struck you in the midst of all this massive, it seems a little one-sided in some sense. And it's just Vagina Monologues, but where do men fit in? How could they have dialogues and where women? Where's the passage point? And this is where my friend asked, well, where do we have an archetype for a man that's truly amazing in his body, that when he shows up, everyone feels safe at the restaurant? This is a different archetype. This is a different invoking. It's a whole different energy. Because, we don't have that. And I just want to ask you in terms of the
this new story, this new passage, if you had to change one thing about vagina monologues that would really and make men feel they could breathe deep in there and really show who they are and have women be touched by that, what was, is there anything you would do differently? I know it's a big question, but you could probably answer over five days, but did anything come to you?
Yeah, exactly. I think part of the issue, and here we are with languaging again, is it's not about what's better. A matriarchy,
yes,
you know, which when women, when not just women, when everyone honored the divine as feminine millennia ago,
yes,
or the patriarchy, which is where we live now, which is why there is so much focused, yes, on women to try and find that balance. It is something in between, and I know that sounds trite and, yes, obvious, but I think it's I don't want us to be genderless, I don't want us to feel equal. What I would love, and I don't know how vagina monologues,
yeah,
fits into it. I mean, I have to say there's some great,
yeah,
monologues. I don't know if you've seen it, and it's been around. This is their 20th anniversary year, and we're actually, our group,
yeah,
is going to be doing it again next spring when we do our spring show, because it's our 10th anniversary. But if there are a couple monologues in there, one in particular called He Likes to Look at It, that is so beautifully men honoring, and I think it's so tough in the era of Me Too and the conversation about women's empowerment. It's a pendulum swing. I mean, we really have, and everything falls along a spectrum. I've taught about, I call it the Venusian solutions. You know, when we look at Venus and Mars, you know, all the John Gray stuff, that finding the,
yes,
balance between the extreme, you know, feminine qualities that run from, yes, compassion and intuition and all those upsides of feminine to the downside, which can be people pleaser, doormat. Likewise, men, you know, the qualities of masculine traits, and of course we know that men and women embody both of them. They also fall along a spectrum. But like you said, you know, how do we remind people of the spectrum and not demonize the negative end for both masculinity and femininity, both the yin and the yang, and not talk about men are this way and women are this way, but instead, you know, look at that perfect little yin-yang symbol where they're wrapped in each other. And likewise,
I wanna
not talk about masculine and feminine. Oh, we're running out of time, aren't we?
I want to. Thank you, Deb. I want to thank. I want to see, by the way, my beloved Kimchi Moya. I wonder if you're with us right now, Kimchi. I want you to speak up if you're there. We're listening to Vibrant Living Network. We're exploring the vibrant life together. Relational brain, relational soul. Deborah came, huh, Chris? Yeah, I love her so much. She didn't come. We had an amazing meeting with her this morning. Stay with us. Thank you so much, Chris, for more Vibrant Living Network, more Vibrant Living Experience in a moment. Keep inquiring. Thank you.